Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. So I woke up early this morning. Actually, for me, honestly, I didn't wake up that early. I woke up like regular time.
Sometimes you scare me with your wake-up time.
Yeah, when you get like a 5:30 text message with the grid for the 2 o'clock show?
Yeah, that's a nice little happy good morning to me.
So I didn't wake up that early, but I jumped up for Robbie and Rex Road this morning. I was so glad to be finally invited onto that program as a guest. And Joe had some questions. So then, Joe, we're doing the home and home. Joe is here for Jared versus Joe and Jared versus Joe. I should tell all the fine folks out there, is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment now. So we're very excited about that. Joe, how much did you enjoy my visit on your show this morning?
Well, your visit was fine, Jared. And then I look on Twitter and you tag me in a complete lie. So I need you to explain this before we get started here. Here's the tweet from you after you came on the show. Quote, me arguing with Titans fans and at Joe Rexroad, who thinks Tannehill deserves another chance after blowing back-to-back home playoff games. And it's some, I don't even know what the heck your little gif was. But I,
it's a video.
When did I, yeah, whatever.
So it's from the movie Bad Teacher.
What are you talking about?
So it's from the movie Bad Teacher.
That was funny.
So you saw it?
Yeah, it's the only argument I need, Sean.
Yeah, so the teacher and the student are arguing about LeBron versus Jordan, and the teacher goes, call me when LeBron has 6 rings. And the student goes, is that your only argument? He goes, that's the only argument I need, Sean. So that was the video that I had associated with that. I've been listening to the show, Joe. You seem very committed to the idea of Tannehill being the quarterback next year, and I will not stand for the laziness of not considering other alternatives.
That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. You said, I said deserves another chance, not one time. Not one time ever.
Caroline, you've been listening to Robbie and Rex Show. Does it feel like Joe's wanting to give Tannehill another chance?
Well, deserves or giving Tannehill or – knowing that Tannehill will be the quarterback of the Titans next year, I think are two different things.
But he won't even consider something else.
I don't think Joe is saying that Tannehill deserves a second chance. He is saying that it seems more than likely that Tannehill will be the quarterback of the Titans.
Okay, so then would it be
inaccurate
to say that Fitz said that Jimmy Garoppolo is good enough to win the Super Bowl?
That is what he said, yes.
Okay, all right. That's all I want to know. Time now for Jared versus Joe.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad, now on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game.
We'll have our guest Joe Rexroad go first. True or false, the Titans can win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill?
Is this going to be all Tannehill?
Guess you'll just have to find out.
Well, okay, look. I'm going to say true. Because first of all, I know Jared will say false, so we may as well argue it. Now, I'm going to say true with a, you know, it's a very slim chance. But, I mean, the history of teams that have won Super Bowls tell us that it's true. It's true if everything, I think Vrabel said it. What did he say? We have to be great around him. Maybe even better than that. So it's true. It's possible. It's not impossible. I'd say it's unlikely. I'd say it's probably very unlikely, and I have a lot less faith in it, as I think a lot of people do, after watching the way Tannehill squandered this opportunity and gave the Bengals the game Saturday. But, yeah, if you say it's a binary, it's one or the other, yes, it's possible.
So I think there are quarterbacks out there that didn't win Super Bowls that could win Super Bowls. Like, I think Dan Marino could have won Super Bowls and didn't. I think Philip Rivers could have won a Super Bowl and didn't. I think Steve McNair could have won a Super Bowl and didn't. Like, I think Dak Prescott can win a Super Bowl, but he hasn't won one yet. I think Tannehill falls into this weird class of quarterback where Jay Cutler resides and Jake Plummer resides, and that is simply the quarterback of not good enough. You know, he's not a total bum. He's not a Keely Smith. He's not one of those guys, but he's not really a good quarterback. Just like Jake Plummer. And Jake Plummer made a Pro Bowl. And Jay Cutler. And Jay Cutler made some Pro Bowls, but it's just not the same. And so I think that what a lot of Titan fans were hoping was that the Tannehill who played at the end of the 2019 season and for most of 2020, that that guy could make enough of the throws in order to win your team the game. I think the biggest question that nobody's talking about is what got into him on Saturday that made him play as tight as I ever saw Mariota play when he was the quarterback here. Clearly, Tannehill was affected, the nerves, everything else. How did he go from this sure-handed, confident, down-for-whatever quarterback into the scaredest quarterback in the NFL? And I don't know how that happened, but that's what it looked like on Saturday. And I think I've just decided that when the pressure mounts, he is now starting to succumb to it. And so those things don't get easier the further you get in the playoffs. They get harder. I think the only way Tannehill can win is if he throws for 80 yards in a playoff game. Nobody's going to let you do that four times. No, you cannot win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill. And that is, if I took away anything on Saturday night, it was that.
I don't disagree with all the things you said there about Tannehill, but I mean, you brought up Jay Cutler again. So let's go back to the Bears team that made the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman and put Jay Cutler in at quarterback. I mean, for example, like I certainly like their chances better with Jay Cutler than with Rex Grossman. And yet they made it with Rex Grossman. Nick Foles is not a good quarterback. He's a career backup quarterback. He got on a ridiculous heater and he won a Super Bowl. He beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. You know,
That Bears team you're talking about with Rex Grossman as their starting quarterback, which I hear you, they finished number two in the NFL in points scored. Like, they actually had shockingly a decent offense because their defense was so good in turning people over. Then they ended up in the Super Bowl against Peyton Manning and they lost by 12. Like, that's the point, is that you can't do it four times with a guy who's not capable. And Jay Cutler would not have made up that difference against Peyton Manning. And that's where I think that Tannehill is. I just think they could have beaten Mahomes or Allen at Nissan Stadium in the AFC Championship game. But I think that Tannehill cannot win three or four games without having some mind-numbingly huge mistake that costs you the game. And the other problem here is the cap number and the fact that you can't be great around him because you have to pay him all the money. And so guys have to go. And I just think that that's the position the Titans have put themselves in.
All right, on to the next one. Jared, you go first for this one. You are John Robinson. What do you do with Ryan Tannehill next year?
Okay, so I would not, whatever happens, and you can only play the cards that are dealt, right? Like, you can't, for example, make this the 1983 quarterback class and draft Dan Marino in the first round and have Dan Marino at quarterback next year.
Correct.
So you can only play the cards that are dealt. I would, though, be willing. The one thing that they would never do, and you never do until you're ready to move on at quarterback, is I would let it be known that I am not seeing Ryan Tannehill as the long-term example. For instance, San Francisco traded up three first-round picks to move up to number three in this year's draft. It happened on a Friday. They did it with the Dolphins. And when they did that, everybody in America knew they weren't interested in Jimmy Garoppolo being the future of their franchise. I would end this offseason with people knowing I'm not interested in Ryan Tannehill being the future of my franchise, which means that I've called around enough to make some moves so that people know. And once you call somebody else, if you don't make that move, it's going to get out that you tried, and I'm okay with that. And you never want that. If you believe your guy is a franchise guy, you never want him to think that you don't love him. You saw what happened with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia when he felt that way. You never want that, but I'm okay with that. I think it's time now for there to be some pressure on Tannehill. So while I'd like to go get a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers, or while I'd like to be able to go draft somebody that can play, and I don't know these quarterbacks, I think ultimately at the end of the day, by the time the offseason is over, I think that there should be a clear and obvious message that the Titans are not committed to Ryan Tannehill.
So you just talked about how Tannehill did not handle the pressure well, which I agree with. So sure. Now you want to make sure that there's more pressure on him. You want to make sure to manufacture that pressure on him.
Sure.
So that next year can be as bad and uncomfortable for him as possible.
Well, has it been as bad and uncomfortable for Jimmy Garoppolo as possible?
I don't know. I don't know what's up with Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he played terrible, and they still somehow found a way to win.
Oh, he
stinks. And he tried to throw him. Well, right. So, I mean, you know, this is, he's another example of that team, because of their defense and because of Debo Samuel, could potentially get to the Super Bowl on Sunday despite him. But, I think that will probably happen, what you're saying, because if I was John Robinson, I would make all inquiries. I would make every possible inquiry, and I would evaluate these quarterbacks in this draft class as if I had the number one pick, and I would know them inside and out. And if it was a chance to make a move 5-6 spots to get one of them that I actually really like, great. And you're still sacrificing another opportunity to be greater on Tannehill and doing that. But I'm not doing it to send a message. I'm doing it just because it's my job and I should be doing it. I have to look at every possibility and every avenue. I'd still rather Ryan Tannehill think I believe in him if I had my druthers. Why do you want to make sure he knows this?
I don't know. I thought he played better in 2019 when it was his back was against the wall and it was the last chance that he had to ever have a good career in the NFL. When that pressure was on him, he played better. And I don't know why, but obviously the Titans are telling us it's not his coaching, because they haven't gone out and they're not going to change the offensive coaching at all. And they're telling us it's not the offensive line because they didn't move guys around this year. Everybody that had a spot kept their spot. And so the Titans, I don't know what their explanation for this is, other than they must think that Tannehill's not that good. I don't know. But I've decided that, you know, the 2019 Tannehill was playing for his career. The 2022 Tannehill can play for his career as well.
Okay, on to the next one.
Hold that one. 615-737-1025. And I don't know why I gave out the phone number. Jared versus Joe is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. We'll do that on the other side. Joe Rexroad is with us. It is Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Who's your number one dud?
So I said I wasn't going to do all quarterbacks. I didn't say I wasn't doing any. Ryan Tannehill, you cost your team the game. Three picks, you turned it over. You sucked. Congratulations.
Your third dud there, Greg.
Ryan Tannehill, your defense gets 9 sacks. All you need to do is not turn the ball over, and the Titans win that game. And he threw 3 interceptions. 2 of them were awful. He had awful decisions also, throwing behind people, over people. He was horrendous in that game.
There you go. That was 98.5, the Sports Hub, Felger and Mass in Boston. That's what people around the country think of Tannehill. That he sucks. The end. That's what they think.
So much. How obsessed with those guys are you? How
my God, like, that's my, that is my favorite.
You go to bed listening to those guys?
I mean, like... Honestly, if I'm like bored, I literally am like right to the podcast app on my phone, right to Felger and Mass. And they'll talk about things I don't care about, like the Bruins or the Red Sox. Like this, today they were talking about David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame. Here for it. I love that show. It's the best local show in America, including this one. And you all know that for me to say something like that and not put my show number one, that is telling you something.
That's saying something.
But they think Tannehill sucks, as does Stephen A. Smith, as does everybody else. Caroline, where are we on Jared versus Joe?
Joe, you go first. Jared went first on the last one. What's the bigger problem, Todd Downing or Ryan Tannehill?
Who? I've got to go with the player. You know, I think that Todd Downing was a pretty clear step down from Arthur Smith. I also don't think that's a big surprise. There's a lot, there's a lot of good stuff going around this week, film study stuff out there, kind of calling out Todd Downing and some of his play calls and predictability. I would say to that, that, you know, NFL teams rerun plays during games and during seasons all the time. Not to excuse him, I don't think he had a good day Saturday. And I think that you have to, I mean, I know Vrabel just flatly, you know, gave me the one word no when I asked about the impact of going from Smith to Downing, but I think that there's got to be something there.
Oh, I thought Vrabel's sassiness towards you on that was a total truth hurts moment.
Maybe, you know, I mean, yeah. And you know, look, I didn't expect him to say, well, here, let me lay this out for you. Why this was a little tougher for Ryan this year, because Arthur did this and Todd did this. And maybe you're right. And maybe he just flat out doesn't believe it. And that's why he said it. Either way, it's hard for me to believe that there was no, you know, diminishing effect on Tannehill this year, going from Smith to Downing. But I mean, yeah, it's still, I mean, look, the player makes the plays, and there were still plays for him to be made in that game, and there were plays for him to not make in that game, and he didn't make enough, and he made too many bad ones. And ultimately, it's just way more important. I mean, the quarterback is way more important. Great quarterbacks can overcome average OCs. I can't think of too many great OCs who have turned bad quarterbacks into good quarterbacks. I mean, there's just a limitation there. So I think the clear answer is Tannehill.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tannehill too. I think the biggest problem that I had with Downing on Saturday night was at one point in the game, and I tweeted this out, like literally as they threw the touchdown to AJ, he needed to basically make every throw for Tannehill as carefree and, or as careful and cautious as possible. Basically like you would put a rookie backup in the game, you know, where it was like, hey, these are the throws we need you to make. And if you're not going to do that, then it needs to be like the Niners game where every throw goes to AJ. And he never did that. I thought it was clear that when you were on offense, AJ Brown was the best player on the football field. And the Titans never really did that. And so that bothered me with Downing. But again, I don't think the play call, as much as these people that have no idea what they're talking about, that are going to write articles about, if you do the film study, you can see that this first play call was a bad play call on the play action Julio Jones. Like, I have no idea how these people know that. And they'll write articles or whatever for whatever reason. But the reality is Jesse Bates said, yeah, I just stared down the quarterback. You know, staring down the receiver and I saw his eyes. I just picked it off. And so
I put that on
the quarterback.
I got to jump in on that one though, Jared. I mean, look, some of this is, it really is simple. I mean, this is not it's 11 people on both sides of the ball. And you're trying to, you're trying to move people around. If you don't have a receiver on the other side of the field, it makes it that much easier for Jesse Bates to do what he did. I mean, he immediately drifted over to Julio Jones. If you watch that play from the all 22 perspective, there's nothing to draw his eyes elsewhere there. So I think that is an example of a bad play. However, I'm just saying that because I don't think you can just dismiss people looking at this stuff and pointing out some obvious things. I would still say, don't stare him down. Don't throw the pass. So the both things are true on that. I'm going to put Tannehill's blame ahead of Downing's, but I think you're a little dismissive with some of these things that you don't have to be Bill Belichick to diagnose. Golly, there's no receivers on this side of the field, so I think this safety in cover three probably is going to look over here.
Yeah, I also think when the safety tells you, I looked at his eyes, saw where they were, and I just ran to it, that tells me all I need.
Sure. Well, that's true, too. They're both true.
On to the next one in that same breath. Jared, you go first. If Tannehill and Todd Downing both return next year, and it looks like a similar season to this year, Vrabel's job will be in question.
I do think that if the Titans get bounced in the first round of the playoffs next year, that the love fest that Mike Vrabel has right now with the fans will be almost at a 180. I feel like Vrabel is starting to enter the, if Peter Laviolette's tenure as the coach of the Predators was a bell curve, Vrabel is starting to come on to the downward slope, which is, yeah, you won a division and you got a home playoff game, but the playoffs were incredibly unacceptable and disappointing. And now you're arrogant about it, which is very much what happened to Laviolette when they didn't have a great postseason in 2019, even though they won the Central Division and they played at home against Dallas. Like, there was definitely okay, so now are you going to fix the power play? And the next day was, nope, we're not going to fix the power play. This felt like, so are you going to fix the offense? Nope, not going to fire the coordinator. If the same thing happens again, I think a lot of people are going to be upset with Vrabel.
Can you repeat that question, Caroline?
If Todd Downing and Tannehill come back next year and it's the same kind of thing as this year, Vrabel's job is in question.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to say no. I agree to an extent with what Jared is saying. I mean, the Laviolette comparison, I get that to an extent. But look, this comes down to Amy Adams-Strunk and trust and John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. And, fans are going to get mad at Vrabel, and he's going to you know, act how he acts and be prickly, especially, you know, during some of these moments, especially if things start going the other way. And fans will be mad about it. But to me, it's Amy Adams Strunk, how she feels about John Robinson. Vrabel is Robinson's guy. And as long as they're on the same page, then I believe that, like, neither of them would be in actual serious jeopardy until they actually pick a quarterback, like a draft a quarterback, and it goes bad. I mean, I don't think that there would be any real question, any real hot seat for Vrabel. Now, if it goes like worse than this, you know, they go 6-11 or something, then you revisit. But if it's same sort of thing, they get to the playoffs, they're a good team, they lose in the first round, it's clear Tannehill's, you know, not the guy. I mean, maybe it'll be clear all along. Regardless, now you can move from him probably. Then I think they're going to get their chance. And I do look at them as a thing together, Robinson and Vrabel. So I just don't think that there actually will be any sort of jeopardy for Vrabel if it's comparable to this.
I think the good point you make, too, like going back to that Preds comparison, is like the 2020 team or the 2019-20 team that Laviolette, when he got fired mid-year, they were not playing very well. Like that was – it wasn't like they were playing the level they were the year before when they won the division and it still wasn't good enough. They weren't playing very well, period. And so I think it's interesting. Like if they go 6-11 next year, does Vrabel get fired? I don't know. You know, the NFL, it's so quick. We were talking about Matt Nagy was coach of the year a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Jason Garrett was coach of the year. So these things happen quickly. One last one.
Joe, you go first. This team has more upside than the 2008 team.
Oh, God.
Okay, this team has more upside.
We're talking about the promo that's running. We're talking about the promo where you say to Robbie, I think this team has more upside to continue winning than the 2008 team, which drives me bananas.
So you totally disagree with that. Yeah, I mean, going into the playoffs, yeah, I absolutely thought so. I mean, yeah, I mean, I still think this team, look, you're talking about Kerry Collins. Now that team, the difference obviously was that team was not like all over the map with these weird turnover games. Like that team didn't turn over, right? That team had I would say a more sound defense. A great running back, you know, you compare that. I mean, AJ Brown is something that team didn't have. But yeah, I mean, I thought that this team had the potential to be a better football team. Obviously, that involves your quarterback playing well. But Derrick Henry coming back, I mean, Derrick Henry is a different deal. He maybe wasn't a different deal Saturday, but the upside of having Derrick Henry back, yes, that's a different deal. This pass rush, we saw what it was Saturday. It was incredible. It was tremendous, elite. So, yes, I stick with that.
I just don't think you know anything about the 2008 team.
Okay. So what am I missing?
You didn't cover them.
Yep.
You probably didn't watch them every week.
Not every week. I watched them plenty, but yeah.
Like, can you name five players on that 2008 defense?
Well, they still had Keith Bullock, correct?
Okay, that's one.
I mean, they still had Albert Haynesworth, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I'm coming up short on that, but, you know. So, I mean, I watched that team plenty. Tell me what of my assessment of that team is incorrect.
So the reason that team lost to the Ravens was twofold. One, they got hurt in the playoffs. So Chris Johnson got hurt in that game, and Lindale White fumbled, the backup running back, and Albert Haynesworth was hurt, and Kevin Mawai, the Pro Bowl center, was hurt. So they lost because they got hurt, and they turned the ball over. This team lost because the quarterback stunk it up. We can sit here and talk bad about Kerry Collins all we want. Kerry Collins went to the Pro Bowl in 2008. Kerry Collins appeared in a Super Bowl as a quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is not. And I think this week is showing us Ryan Tannehill is not going
at his best. So Kerry Collins at his best. Oh, that's, you know, compared to this.
I would think it's really close. I would give this team the advantage because of one reason. Albert Haynesworth was a free agent, and that was the year that he signed the deal in Washington. But it's easy to say this because you know what the end result for the 2009 team was, which is that they were terrible. But, I mean, nobody thought in 2001, after the Titans had the number one ranked defense in the NFL, that they were going to have the 25th ranked defense in 2001, and nobody thought they'd be back in the AFC Championship game in 2002. So I have a hard time, like, saying for certain that this team isn't going to face the same fate as the 09 team. That's the hard part about losing a game like that, is you never know when you'll be back. And
Vandenbosch. They had Vandenbosch, didn't they?
Three.
Did they have Michael Griffin yet?
Four. There you go. One more.
Shoot. Oh, man.
Played on the Lions.
Michigan State guy. They had they had my guy Vickerson, didn't they?
Spartans.
I want to say Vickerson might have been like before that, but
no, you better look it up and give me credit if I got that right.
Jason Jones, defensive tackle that went to the Lions. Supposed to be the replacement for Haynesworth. Was when Jason Jones went in there. Robert Smith, who was one of the most underrated, underappreciated Titans of all time. Was on that team. Robert Smith was?
Absolutely.
Floyd Reese picked him like three picks before Tom Brady in the 2000 draft. Chris Hope, Nick Harper, Cortland Finnegan. How'd you not get Finnegan, Joe?
Yeah, that's a big miss.
Oh, Cortland my Finnegan. Goodness. There you go. Joe Rexroad, Jared versus Joe, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Who is our champion?
I can't comment on the 2008 team. I wasn't around then.
You were in the fourth grade.
I was 12. But I can agree that this team does have upside, just not at the quarterback position. So I have to say that Jared wins.
Yes!
I just refuse to believe that there's nothing the Titans can do with Ryan Tannehill moving forward. Not some sort of glimmer of hope.
If you are,
it was always going to be Jared in the Tannehill edition.
No,
it would have been a huge upset.
You could have blown me away.
If you are looking for a Tannehill safe space, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here, or Taylor Lewan's podcast. Those are the two places to go for the Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, because he deserves to come back per your lying tweet.
There you go. Joe Rexroad, as always, joining us on the program. I did promise your Tannehill texts and stuff, and I got a rant I want to get into at some point, so we'll do that coming up. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do you have a thought or to the phones?
To the phones.
Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com as well. What do we have?
One texter texts in and says, there should be more ownership like the Steelers, more longevity with head coaches.
I mean, I think that if the head coach does a good job, then the head coach would keep their job. But I'm not going to just hold Matt Nagy for 7 years because, well, you know, I don't want to fire coaches. I think Amy Adams Strunk's done a pretty decent job with her coaches. You know, they got Wisenhunt out of here as soon as she took over. Wisenhunt had his first season. They got Tommy Smith out. She took over. Then I think it was like 7 games, and it was obvious Wisenhunt was a terrible coach, and they got rid of Wisenhunt, which is exactly what they had to do. Now, I didn't like how the Mike Mularkey thing was handled, and I would like to know more about what took place behind the scenes, specifically what they knew about Josh McDaniels in Indianapolis, because Vrabel was the other candidate, and then all of a sudden, after the Super Bowl, McDaniels didn't go to Indianapolis, and Indianapolis was caught with their pants down without Mike Vrabel, and I think she's done a good job with Vrabel. But the idea that, like, I should just be inherently loyal to a coach, I don't believe in, especially a coach who seems to believe in themselves, and I think I used that right, believe in themselves as much as Mike Vrabel seems to believe in himself, which may be to a fault. You know, that's a little concerning. So I don't need to have like a mandate. I'll say it to you like this. I'm all for minority hires in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I think we need more black coaches. I completely think so. But if I'm owner, I want to hire who the best person for my franchise is. I don't want to go, and if that person is, you know, whatever race, gender, orientation, whatever, I don't care. Like, just can you win me games? But I also don't want to be told, okay, but you need to hire. I don't want to be told you need to have longevity with your coaches. Mm-hmm. I would just like to have longevity with my coaches because I hire a good
coach.
You
don't plan longevity. It just happens.
Right.
I think the Steelers hired Mike Tomlin thinking this is going to be our coach for the next 30 years.
Yep.
Just happened that way.
I'd love it if that labels a guy for 30 years. But Adam in Portland is up next for his daily call of the day. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
Well, I don't want you to yell at me today like you did yesterday, but I've got a fix to the quarterback so you guys can go home happy tonight, come back and talk about him tomorrow.
I already heard you yell about me today on the morning show, by the way.
Yeah, you get on my nerves a lot, man. I got to tell you, but it comes from a loving spot. I want you to get better. But I think Gardner Minshew would be – I think Gardner Minshew would be a really cool quarterback, and he would be cheap, and he'd be hungry. We don't even know if he's good because he's been stuck in Jacksonville and then backing up in Philly. I think he could be a cool quarterback for us. What do you think?
Thank you for your call, Adam. I'll take a risk in the draft.
I mean
– before I go with Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew, cool guy. Love dude, the mustache.
Lit up the Titans on a Thursday night at Jacksonville.
Cool dude. Don't lit. Know if I necessarily want to invest in Gardner Minshew.
So it is funny listening to all the talk about, you know, are the Titans stuck with Tannehill or mm-hmm. whatever. And so, like, right around when Gardner Minshew emerged, they signed Foles to this big contract. And, Ian, you remember, like, everybody was supposed to be worried about Foles going to the Jags. And Floyd did not flinch an inch. You remember that, Ian?
I do, yeah. Not a fan of Foles.
Did not one iota when it was like, oh, no, if Jacksonville, they just went to the AFC title game and now they got Foles as their quarterback, what are they going to do? Eh, it'd be fine.
Let them have him.
So then, like halfway through the season, they realized Foles sucked and they were going to try to get rid of him, but they signed him to all this money, and so you can't get rid of somebody. Like, well, the dead cap number was like 44 in 2020. And there was no June 1st cut because the next year did not have a CBA at that point. So it was like they can't even move Foles even if they want to because, and I told him that, and he was like, how much is the money? I go, it's 44. He goes, and you're sure they can't June 1st him? I go, yeah. And he goes, ha, 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 ha. This was during a break. He goes, ha, ha, ha. They're effed. Like, he looked at me like that, and I laughed so hard. When he found out they couldn't use a June 1st designation on him, he was like, ha, 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 ha. And, you know, so no on Gardner Minshew.
Jeff texts in and says, the entire team earns the number one seed, but one player can and did lose it, and he and the rest of the team know it. However, there is no good to come from continuing to berate him.
No. We just got to put the pressure on it for them to do something about it. This ain't about him.
No.
I got no beef with him. It's getting them to realize they got to do something about it. They need to go get a new quarterback. The end. It has nothing to do with him. It's about them. I don't care about him. He's got all his money. Go off wherever. You know, do whatever you want to do. I don't care. I loved Marcus. You know, I told Marcus in the locker room at Kansas City at the AFC title game how much I appreciated the kind of guy he is. And Marcus and I talked for a while. I'm not going to tell you what Marcus said, but I appreciated Marcus. But he had to go. I mean, like, there's the, you know, that's kind of how this works. So I got something I want to get off my chest. We're going to do that next. 615-737-1025. Focus, naturally caffeinated, sparkling water with a spark. Woke up kind of tired, knew I had to do Robbie and Rex at 8 a.m. And I drank a mixed berry Focus, which is exactly the Focus that I have right here. P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. Focus is a naturally energizing, brain-focusing, taste-analyzing hydrator. It is a naturally caffeinated, sparkling water with a spark. Go to drinkfocus.com, use the promo code GAME at checkout, and you can get 15% off your first order. You can see all their flavors there. If you're looking for a substitute for the artificial sugars or the calories or the coffee or the crash, and you want a naturally caffeinated sparkling water, Focus is where to go. They've also got them at your local Publix. So you go into Publix, you see what they got, go over there, grab a Focus, give it a try. Focus. Drink Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. My guys, again, Focus. So I want to get this off my chest. It is the last segment of the day. I should not tell you all that if I wanted to hide something that I don't think people care as much about, I would do it in the last segment of the day, though I'd probably wait until like 50 after. So I think more people care about this. So I have a theory, like in a city like Nashville, I don't want to say nobody, because when you say nobody, then they interpret that as absolutely, positively nobody, and that there's one person out there, so it can't be nobody. But the truth is, I don't think people really care about Major League Baseball anymore. Like, right now, they're in a lockout, and I don't think anybody really, like,
I
okay.
I think popularity is at an all-time low.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think people care about baseball. So, the Baseball Hall of Fame. I actually think more people care about the Baseball Hall of Fame than actually care about, like, are the White Sox going to beat the Orioles? That make any sense?
Yes.
Okay. And I think it's because, like, when we grew up, like, baseball was more popular. Mm-hmm. And more people watch baseball and things like that. So David Ortiz goes into the Hall of Fame. Now, I like David Ortiz. I covered David Ortiz. He was always nice to me, and I was a nobody. And I like David Ortiz. I mean, I am like 23 years old, covering the Boston Red Sox, my first real job as a grown-up. And here's Big Poppy David Ortiz. And he was a nice guy. And he's in the Hall of Fame. And I have no problem with David Ortiz being in the Hall of Fame because he was a superstar when it came to the playoffs. And all, you know, like that 2004 Red Sox run, that's a big part of baseball history. He was front and center for that. The 2007 Red Sox, the 13 Red Sox, he was a big part of all of that. But he used steroids. Like, it's known that in 2003, they tested all these players just because they wanted to see how many players were using steroids before. So there was no punishment if you were using steroids. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to see what the percentage was. And it got leaked out through the press that David Ortiz was one of the positive tests. So he used steroids. Just like it got leaked to the press because the guy hid outside the courtroom and wrote down what Barry Bonds said in the grand jury testimony, that Barry Bonds used the cream in the clear in the Balco scandal. And so, I mean, if we're going to keep out, and the baseball writers are the most curmudgeon old farts out there. I mean, they are just, they never played baseball at a high level, which, again, the football writers didn't play football at a high level. Paul Kaharsky votes on the Hall of Fame in football. But the baseball writers are just something different. Like, they are, like, sanctimonious. Like, they are holier than thou. And it's like, how dare you question my integrity of the game? So Barry Bonds is not in the Hall of Fame. And Roger Clemens is not in the Hall of Fame. Now, both those guys use steroids, we know, even though they lied and said they didn't. And they're not in the Hall of Fame because they use steroids, right?
Yes.
Like, that's what we're led to believe.
That is the popular consensus.
So then why is David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame? And he's in the Hall of Fame because the baseball writers liked him.
He's a more likable guy, and Barry Bonds was not likable.
So here's the reality of it, especially to the writers. Bonds was, to the media, Bonds was the worst. So now we got the Baseball Hall of Fame. Maybe the thing that people care the most about baseball now is talking about old baseball guys. So we got a Hall of Fame that's got Craig Biggio in it. And it's got no Barry Bonds. And it's like, well, you know, steroid era, Bonds. And so we got Jeff Bagwell and Mike Piazza and all these guys that hit home runs in the 90s and the 2000s. And nobody, you know, no one questions about Bagwell. So we got all those guys in there. And we got David Ortiz, who used steroids, but we don't have Barry Bonds, and we don't have Roger Clemens. I mean, it's embarrassing. What it is what everybody already knew, which is, remember when the writer in Chicago, Hub Arkish, said he wouldn't vote for Aaron Rodgers for MVP?
Yep.
And it was, now, I think everybody made it like a vaccine versus vaccine kind of thing, which I thought probably wasn't fair because I think Arkish also included in there the fact that Aaron spent all offseason holding his team hostage. Mm-hmm.
There is so, more to Aaron than just vaccine versus no vaccine.
But it's easy to make it, you know, the vaccine.
That's the most recent thing, yes.
So, and people were like, how dare he say that? Take away his vote for MVP. I'm like, this is what the baseball writers have been doing for forever. Terry Pendleton was the 1991 MVP in the National League instead of Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds' best player. And, like, look, Barry Bonds beat my team all the time when I was a kid. And I don't like Barry Bonds. I never liked Barry Bonds. I grew up liking the Braves. I love that Hank Aaron had the all-time home run record. I think it's bullcrap that Barry Bonds has the all-time home run record because he cheated to get it. But if we're going to put David Ortiz in the Hall of Fame, then you have to put in Barry Bonds. And there's no way around it. Like, that's it. And yet, these baseball fuddy-duddies will get all up in their, you know, their feels about, well, in the game of baseball, the integrity of the game, and it, Ortiz cheated. Why is he in the Hall of Fame?
And I think the crazy thing, too, is Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens both were very, very close to being voted in this year. I think Barry Bonds got like 66% of the votes. Roger Clemens got like 62%. You need 75%.
75, yeah.
So it's not.
Which also is stupid, by the way, but yes, please.
Yes. Like, what about 75 as a magic number?
Right.
But, like, it's weird. It's like, where is the division among the Baseball Hall of Fame writers? Like, how could 66% of them think it's totally fine? And then where, like, I don't understand the division there.
Oh.
Like, 66 is a big percentage.
I'll give you the example here. Curt Schilling. I mean, I'm sorry. Curt Schilling pitched three teams to the World Series.
Uh-huh.
He pitched the Phillies in 93 to the World Series. He pitched the Diamondbacks and won in 2002. And he pitched the Red Sox in 2004 to the World Series. So he pitched three franchises to the World Series. His ERA, or his, I looked it up or whatever, but his stat, Mike Mussina's in the Hall of Fame. Curt Schilling's stats are so much better in the playoffs than Mike Mussina. Curt Schilling was a big game strikeout pitcher. He started all-star games. I mean, he was awesome back in my day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, like he's crazy. Like he's your crazy Uncle Larry that posts these like crazy, you know, alt-right memes and stuff on Facebook. But that's not a reason why somebody shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
No. And I don't think...
I understand ESPN being like, hey, dude, we can't have you call Sunday Night Baseball if you're going to go on here and post these, like, you know, Obama, Hitler, whatever memes. Like, I get
controversial things.
But, like, that has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame.
And same with Barry Bonds' personality. I mean, if you want to make the steroid argument, then make the steroid argument.
But
if those
be
people,
consistent with your steroid argument.
Be consistent, because I hope the people that didn't vote for Barry Bonds for that exact same reason also didn't vote for David Ortiz, because their personalities should play zero part in it.
Is it wrong that I care about this?
No.
Do people
because you
this
care
time,
about baseball.
Do people here care about this?
No, probably not.
You don't think so?
No.
Like, even though, like, this is back when people did care about baseball.
Because I think that it violates the integrity of the Baseball Hall of Fame, but I don't think people here necessarily care about that. I don't think people care about the integrity of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And now, if this was Boston,
Like,
people care.
So, it's funny because it reminds me, like, June. Like, I don't really care about the NBA. But, like, June, there's nothing else going on except for, like, the finals. So we watched the finals, and you just kind of talk about whatever on the radio. And I remember Golden State was playing in the finals, and I forget how we got on this topic. But we were, like, talking about whether or not Steph Curry was an all-time great. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you just talk about, like, big blanket discussions.
Right.
Like, so we're talking about, is Steph Curry an all-time great? And Floyd said no. And so we went through, like, okay, who are the all-time greats from, like, the late 80s on? So it was, like, Magic, Michael, Shaq, Kobe, Tim Duncan, Larry Bird. Like, we went through the whole list, and Floyd argued that Steph and Shaq did not belong in the all-time great discussion, which is crazy because Shaq won three finals MVPs. But he believed that they didn't belong in, like, the all-time great discussion. And, I mean, we had phone lines for, like, 2 hours. It was like, should we even talk football? Like, people wanting to talk about basketball players from, like, the 90s.
Because those are conversations that are always relevant.
I mean, I guess, but, like, aren't baseball Hall of Fame kind of the same way? Like, you know, the steroids, like, the steroids, I'm going to say this about baseball. One of their biggest problems is that it's not a controversial sport anymore. So they have a league-owned network which covers it.
Uh-huh.
And so everything there is all sunshine and roses.
Always.
And so ESPN never talks it. Because if you're a baseball fan, you just watch the Sunshine and Roses channel. And so ESPN never talks it, so there's no controversy. And then that's not interesting. Like, when I was a kid, there was all this drama about steroids and strikes.
The
and,
race to 500.
Oh, God. So-so
long
McGuire.
Gone summer.
I mean, it was all the same old bullcrap. And so there was drama.
That's fun.
Right. Drama's good. But, like, baseball, nothing. I just think it's nuts. Like, I'm not a Barry Bonds fan. One of my buddies played on the Marlins when Barry Bonds was a hitting coach. And D. Gordon got suspended for steroids. And he told me, like, he had been on the Marlins for, like, a month.
Uh-huh.
And he was, like, sitting there in the clubhouse. And Barry Bonds, like, gave this, like, impassionate rant about how they need to defend D. Gordon. And he was like, I've been in the major leagues for, like, 6 weeks or, like, 3 weeks. And I'm like, Barry, sit down, please.
Right. Like
that's enough. That's it for us. We're out of here. Smashville Live. Big win for the Preds last night. Smashville Live coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow. No baseball at 2.